And we're going to begin reading at verse 3. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for all you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your word, which is that sharp sickle that cuts going and coming. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And Lord, that's what we want. We want you to shine your word on our heart and show us anything that shouldn't be there. Open our hearts and reveal your truth to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Chronicles 17:3 tells us that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. And he sought not Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his fathers, and walked in the commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. How many of you guys would like to have riches and honor in abundance, wouldn't you? I would. You know, the only thing about money is it just doesn't stretch as far as it used to, does it? But it's not about money. It's about seeking the Lord. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this beautiful passage here tells us that this king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, walked in the ways of his father David, and that he walked in his commandments. He didn't go after Balaam. He didn't do what all everybody else in Israel was doing. And because of that, God established the kingdom in his hands, and he blessed him. Amen. How many of you guys need a blessing this morning? I need a blessing, don't you? Yeah, some of you guys got two hands up. That's right. Now, it's interesting, it says that he walked in his father David. David, of course, was not his father. This is, you know, generation past. It's in the generation of his father David. His actual father was the previous king, Asa, A-S-A. And Asa started out as a good king. The Spirit of God came upon a prophet called Azariah, and he went out to meet Asa one day, and he told him, "The Lord is with you while you are with him." That's a good statement, isn't it? "And if you seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you." That almost sounds overly simplistic, doesn't it? The Lord is with you, if you're with him. If you seek him, he'll be found of you. If you forsake him, he'll forsake you. That was what this prophet Azariah came and told Asa, probably because the Lord knew Asa's heart. And Israel had been without a true God and without the teachings of a priest and without the law. But when they were in trouble, they did always cry out and turn to God, like many of us do. And they sought him, and he was found to them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out or him that came in. But great vexation was upon the inhabitants of Israel. And when Asa heard these words, he took courage and he put away the abominable idols out of the land, and he renewed the altar of the Lord. And so he was corrected by the prophet. He responded to the correction. He put away the abominable idols and he renewed the altar of the Lord. And so you'd say, well, that's a good king. That's Asa. That's the heritage of Asa. But of course, it doesn't end there. In the 36th year of his reign, the king of Israel came up against Judah. Remember, it was a divided kingdom. Asa was in Judah. And so the king of Israel came up against the kingdom of Judah and against Asa. And Asa used the silver and the gold in the house of the Lord to bribe Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, to help him. That's not right, is it? And so God sent a prophet named Hananiah to him. And Hananiah came to him and he asked him, he says, "Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? And yet because you didn't rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hands." Because you did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hands. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And herein you have done foolishly, therefore from henceforth you will have war." And isn't it terrible that the human nature, instead of trusting God, is to find some way? We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school. He takes the silver and the gold from the temple and he tries to bribe and buy an army instead of just asking God to fight the battle for him. And so because of that, Asa, rather than repenting at the words of this prophet, he ended up throwing him in jail. Don't shoot the messenger. Amen. Sometimes I'm the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. He had him thrown in jail. 3 years later, he contracted a foot disease, and he still didn't seek the Lord, but he sought physicians, and eventually the foot disease killed him. And so when this first prophet, Azariah, came to him and he told him, the Lord is with you when you're with him, and if you seek him, he'll be found of you, but if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. That was pretty much the theme of Asa's life. He sought the Lord, and then he quit seeking him, and then look what happened. Now, I said all that to say that that was the father of Jehoshaphat, so it kind of makes sense that Jehoshaphat wanted to do it right. He had a father who gave him a living, breathing testimony of how not to do it. Amen. He saw his father seek the Lord and was blessed, and now his father fell away from the Lord and wouldn't listen to the prophets and ended up dying. And so here we have this beautiful testimony that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the ways of David, not his earthly father Asa. And he stayed away from Balaam. He didn't do what all the other crowd was doing in Israel, but he sought to the Lord God, and therefore God established the kingdom in his hands. Praise God. Now that was our introduction. I want you to turn over to chapter 20 with me. Just a couple of chapters past where we're at. Second Chronicles chapter 20. Not Second Chronicles. Where are we at? We're in 1 Chronicles. I'm in the wrong chapter. There we go. I'll get it. God is good, isn't he? Second Chronicles chapter 20. I had my notes typed out for me, so I didn't have them written out for the chapter 20. Okay, there we go. All right. So chapter 20, Second Chronicles. It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and the others were with him besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Now this is that Jehoshaphat that we just read about three chapters earlier, the man who sought the Lord, the man who God blessed, the man who people brought gifts to, and now he's got these armies, not just one, but an armies of different nations that are coming to battle against him. You know, you can be doing everything right for the Lord and still have battles, can't you? You know, the devil is relentless. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. He's the enemy of our soul. And so when you look at these Old Testament stories, you can spiritualize them. You can say, well, he had physical enemies coming after him. We have spiritual enemies coming after us, lying spirits and all these things. And so someone came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazar, Tamar, which is in Gadi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout Judah. Now, look at that first statement. Jehoshaphat feared. Now, we know God doesn't want us to be afraid. There's multiple accounts in the Bible where God says to us, fear not. But keep in mind that we're human and that God gives us emotions, doesn't he? And emotions are real. God doesn't want you walking on the edge of a cliff and falling off. So there's a natural thing called a fear of falling, isn't there? A fear of dying, right? And so fear is an emotion that's given by God, isn't it? We're made in the image of God. God gave us every one of these emotions. But then he tells us, when you feel fear, don't fear. But it's not a sin to feel fear, because even Jehoshaphat sought the Lord and he felt fear. And so Jehoshaphat feared. But look what he did. He set himself to seek the Lord. You know, when something scary comes in our life, we can try to fill it with distractions, or we can set ourselves to seek the Lord. Amen. And when we set ourselves to seek the Lord, we may have to do it afraid. We may have to do it trembling. We may have to do it with butterflies in our stomach or voices of uncertainty in our life, but that doesn't mean we don't do it. We set ourselves to seek the Lord in those scary times. Amen? And in addition to that, he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the banker. I'm sorry, from their neighbor. No, from the Lord. They ask help from the Lord. You know, a lot of people can give me a little help. The Lord can give me a lot of help. A lot of people can help in certain things. The Lord can help in everything. And so they sought themselves to seek the Lord. They fasted and they asked to help, asked for help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. You know what? Let's just stop right there for a minute, and let's just have a word of prayer, shall we? Because you know what? I don't want to just hear about it. I want to do it. Don't you? I don't want to just talk about it. I want to do it. And if you're here this morning, this is not the end of the sermon. We're going to keep going. But if you're here this morning, let's just not wait. Let's just ask the Lord for help right now if you're going through something in your life, just like they did. Amen. Lord, right now, we may be facing some fearful things. But like Jehoshaphat, Lord, we're not going to look elsewhere. We're going to seek your face. We're going to ask you to help us in this scary time right now. We're going to seek you and we're going to ask for your help because we know, Lord, our help comes from you. And we want to be like Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah were that day. And we're just going to start asking you right now to send your Holy Spirit right now in this place and comfort us and strengthen us, give us peace and give us joy and give us help. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I felt the Holy Spirit in there, didn't you? Amen. And so Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? Well, of course he does, right? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Boy, he's just telling it like it is, isn't he? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwelt in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, that we will stand before this temple, and in your presence, your name is in the temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. And here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. You know, I don't have power against the things that come against me, do you? We don't. We can try to act tough, but we don't. Nor do we know what we were going to do. But look at this. But our eyes are upon you. Woo, hallelujah. You know, if we could just keep our eyes on Jesus, amen? I mean, Peter learned that lesson the hard way, didn't he? And so in the midst of scary times, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of fear, in the midst of despair, when the enemy is coming against us, you know, we understand that by our own strength and our own ability, our own knowledge and our own power, that we're powerless. But if we can just keep our eyes on the Lord, like Jehoshaphat said. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, their children, they all stood before the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mathiah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, and he said, listen, all you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you king Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Woo, come on, church. Somebody should have said amen right there. Aren't you glad the battle is not yours? Man, I tell you, sometimes I try to fight that battle so hard, and I'll quote the word, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. And then finally I have to sit down and just say, Lord, I'm tired. And he said, good. Because it's not your battle. It's okay to quote the word. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. But when it's all said and done, I need the arm of the Lord. His arm is greater than my arm. His strength is greater than my strength. His power is greater than my power. The battle is not mine. Don't fear. The battle is not mine. It's the Lord's. And then he goes on to say, tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. And you'll find them at the end of the brook there before the wilderness of Drill. And you will not need to fight in this battle. Well, praise God. That's my kind of battle, isn't it? I want the battle. I don't need to fight. I said, I want the battle. I don't need to fight. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of clawing and screaming and praying and asking God to do something. Let's just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. I'm tired of fighting. You don't need to fight the battle. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem. You know, if the Lord is with us, who can be against us? Right. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. My biggest battle is keeping God with me. It goes all the way back to what they said to Asa. If you'll seek him, he'll be found of you. But if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. If you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. So I don't need to fight the battle nearly as much as I need to seek the Lord so that the Lord is just with me in a supernatural way. And then he'll just say, okay, I got this, Raj. It's going to be all right. Amen? And so he says, position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Woo! Wouldn't it be nice if we could just see Jesus walking beside us? Wouldn't it be nice if we could see him? And yet we're told to walk by faith and not by sight, right? And so we have to believe what the Bible says. Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. The Bible says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. So Jesus is with me. Amen. He's never going to leave me. He's with me. R.W. Shambach tells a story about a man who was dying in a hospital, and they gave him the last rite. After the priest left, he said another priest came in, only this one didn't come through the door. He walked through the wall. That's my kind of priest. And he said he got down by his ear, and he said, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. And then he said, I'm going to heal you. I want you to get up, go in the bathroom, shave, and go to a bookstore and find a Bible and read John. And he walked back through the wall. Think about it. And when he's telling R.W. Shambach this story, he says, I got one question. Why didn't he use the door? He said, my God, that's the stupidest question I ever heard in my life. He is the door. He is the door. I said, he is the door. Amen.
Yes.
Now, you know, if it had been a preacher, we'd have said go to a church. But Jesus got more sense than sending some of these churches. He tells him to go to a bookstore instead. He might not get what he needs from a church. You never know what you're going to hear going in churches these days. He told him to go get a Bible and read John. Amen. But I love what he said. You don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. And that became R.W. Shambach's tagline for that Voice of Power radio program. He would always start out, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. I always thought that was something he made up. It was what Jesus said to this man. And you know, when we talk about Jehoshaphat's trouble or my trouble or your trouble, really, we don't have any trouble. All we need is faith in God. And that's what God is saying. I am with you. I am with you. Don't be afraid. I'm with you.
Amen.
I'm going to go with you in battle. He said, the Lord is with you. And so Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And then the Levites and the children of Kohath and of the children of Korathites stood up and praised God and all of Israel with a voice loud and high. You know, sometimes we get loud around here. People say, why don't you guys get so loud? There's something to get loud about, isn't there? Something to shout about. Amen. If you can shout at football games, basketball games, football games, you know, we ought to be able to shout in the house of the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So they rose up early in the morning and they went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. Jehoshaphat's a believer. I was telling somebody something one time about the Bible, about God, and they were skeptic, and they said, you don't really believe that stuff, do you? I said, of course I do. I'm a believer. You know, don't call yourself a believer if you don't believe. Amen? Don't say I'm a believer if you don't believe. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Now, we've all had an apple out of that bag. We've all felt despair. But I tell you, if we just can believe and trust God, the battle is already won. Amen? If we can just keep our confidence in God and not look at our circumstance, the battle is already won. And so Jehoshaphat is telling him, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe in his prophets and you'll prosper. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. What are they? They're going to sing? You got three armies coming with swords and spears, and you guys are taking tambourines and harps. What are those going to do against swords and spears? Well, let's see. So he appointed people to sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, they were saying, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Don Francisco has a great song, and that's the chorus. It goes, praise ye the Lord, his mercy endures forever and ever. Praise ye the Lord, his mercy endures forever and ever. Praise ye the Lord, his mercy endures forever and ever. Praise ye the Lord our God, his mercy will never end. That's a good song, isn't it? That's a song of victory. That's a song that makes armies run the other way. Hell runs the other way when I praise God. I said hell runs the other way when I begin to put on praise. Amen? Hallelujah. Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set an ambushment against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come out against Judah. And they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they all had made an end of all the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Do you realize what this says, guys? Can you get a glimpse of what we're talking about? You've got this lion spirit over here. You've got this tempting spirit over here. You've got this spirit of fear over here. And when we begin to praise God, they start killing one another! Hallelujah! Get happy, somebody! This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Let's watch the demons fight one another instead of letting them fight each other, us, by praising God. And so all the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there was nothing but dead bodies fallen on the earth. Not one of them had escaped. Dead bodies. My enemy is dead bodies. They're all dead. That lying spirit, he's immobilized. That spirit of fear, he's gone. He's gone. Everything that the enemy has tried to put on me will be destroyed in the presence of praise. My praise to God is the greatest weapon in my arsenal. Woo! Come on, church. Hallelujah. You know, when Diane and I met up here, and Greg, up here last Thursday to go over some songs for the Prophecy of Day, the ones that we did this morning as well. And after they left, I began to practice trying to find a special to do Saturday night. I did about three or four songs, and man, I just had a time in the Lord. There is something about just singing to God, just finding that song that blesses you, and just begin to sing it. Well, go ahead and sing it again. Well, go ahead and sing it. Well, go ahead and sing. And you know, at some point, every lying spirit, every spirit of fear, every spirit of temptation, they're like, buddy, we're out of here. We don't want to be around this stuff, you know. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to praise God. Amen. So when they came to the place, they saw these dead bodies, no one escaped, and Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil. They found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies. Woo-hoo! You can buy you a car now, sis.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And when we begin to praise God, the windows of heaven will open and pour out an abundance upon our life. Amen. And so they found all these valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewels, and they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. Glory to God. And there were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. 3 days. Wouldn't it be terrible if you just found so much money it took you 3 days in wheelbarrows to pack it to your house? Wouldn't that just be a shame? Wouldn't that just, oh, what am I going to do? I guess I got to get a bigger wheelbarrow. I've got all this money, all these $100 bills piled up. Now, you know, I'm not a prosperity pimp like some of these guys, but I am a man of the Word, and this is what it says, that when I begin to praise God, the wealth of the wicked is coming my way. I don't need to worry about bills anymore. I don't need to worry about major $10,000 purchases that may be on the horizon, because God has got it taken care of. Amen. And I'm not seeking the money. I'm not doing it for the money. I'm just praising God and watching the enemies fall and the wealth of the wicked come my way. Praise God. And so on the fourth day, they assembled back in the Valley of Brech. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place is called the Valley of Brech until this day. And then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on all the kingdom of those countries when they had heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Woo, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but there's days I need rest all around, aren't you? There's days when life gets heavy. There's days when situations seem bigger than I can handle. And I believe God is wanting to give us rest all around as we begin to put on the spirit of praise for the garment of heaviness. Amen. Diane, come on up. What are we going to sing? We got to end this with a great peppy little praise song. Sean, do you want to come up and help us as well? Come on, brother. And what do you recommend, sis?
How about I Saw the Light?
All right, I Saw the Light. Is that in the hymnal? You would think it would be. Let's see, because I wanted to do the verses if it is. If I could find my alphabet.
Number 667
is on.
Isn't it interesting the hymnals end on 666?
Huh. I saw the cross. I don't see it in here. Does anybody remember the first verse? Do you know victory is mine? Victory is mine. Victory is mine. No, okay, let's do victory in Jesus. That's the beginning of the first verse. I heard an old story. That a Savior came from glory, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come heal my broken spirit. Then somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing out there the song of victory. Well, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come against every foul enemy of our soul. And we, Lord, by an act of our will and through faith, purpose these next days and in this next week to put on that spirit of praise as we begin to run off our enemies and take the bounty, the loot, the reward from letting you, God, fight our battles as we praise our way through. In Jesus' name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap one more time. Thank you, God.